Well, thank you for those songs, Colin. I tell you, for 12 of us, we sounded pretty good. Don't know where everybody else is tonight. We welcome RJ. JR. At least had the letters right. He's living in Las Vegas now. Comes to us via Kentucky, and we're glad that he's with us. Also, the people that are turning into the live stream. Sorry for the confusion at the beginning. We didn't have connection, and we had to kind of go old school and plug the phone in again. So that last song that you sang, Colin, praising the name of God and His holiness and reverence, fits right in to our lesson tonight. If you wanted to read along with me, we're going to be taking a lesson from Isaiah, the 45th chapter in the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah. And to just kind of give you a cliff note version of this chapter, God is holy. He is above any God that man can devise on earth, and that's what hit me with the song we just sang about how holy and reverent God is. And another thing that really stands out in these opening verses here, God is predicting over 150 years ahead of time about Cyrus, king of Persia. He is talking ahead of time. And he knows Cyrus. He knows he's going to use him to bring the Israelites back out of bondage, and is going to use these earthly kingdoms for his purpose. And so starting in verse 1 of Isaiah 45, it says, "Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him, and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron." I see here the power of God that man puts their strength in things like this. You know, gates of bronze and bars of iron. They take their comfort in that. They take their comfort in the armor of kings. And God has power over that. Verse 3, "I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name and the God of Israel," not only calls him by name, knows us by name, knows our lives intimately, knows our cares, our concerns, our worries, the problems that we're facing, the mountains that seem to be right in front of us. And he knows, and he will be with us. The bronze gates, the bars of iron, they don't stand a chance with God. Our troubles, our trials, our tribulations, our challenges don't stand a chance with God. In Jeremiah 1:5, this reminded me of that verse where it says, "Before I formed you in the womb,
I knew you. God knows us. God knew us before we were born. He knew our lives laid out ahead of us. What we would do, what we would accomplish. Goes on to say in verse 4, for Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. Isn't that the case? People that don't even know God, He knows them. People that don't give God a second thought, He knows all about them, knew them from the womb. Verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. That applied to the time of Isaiah. That applied before Isaiah. That applies today. The people in the world, they have their gods. They may not necessarily have the carved images that they go in and bow down to, but they have their gods that have their attention, that have their time, their money, their energies, the focus of their mind and their heart. And the Lord says, I am the Lord. There is no other. There is no God beside me. I will gird you, though you have not known me. Verse 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. When we're up to here in trouble, when we're up to here in chaos, what seems like chaos in our lives, our lives may be falling apart, God is still in control. God is still in control. When we're facing a mountain of worry, when political things or social things are going on, or a health crisis in our lives, God is behind it and knows about it, and we need to be faithful to Him. It's not whether we will be faithful if things are going our way. It's will we be faithful when there is problems in life. Verse 70, I form the light and create the darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Rain down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Isn't that one of the themes that we see over and over and over again? People striving with God, the creator and maker. It never turns out good. Never. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands you command me. I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hands, stretched out the heavens, and all their host I have commanded. Go all the way back to Genesis 1:1. That's how the Bible starts. Is God creating and creating this world and everything in it. This message of the power of God goes from the beginning of the Bible to the end. Verse 13, I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and let my exiles go free. Not for price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Cush and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over to you, and they shall be yours. They shall walk behind you. They shall come over in chains, and they shall bow down before you. They will make supplication to you, saying, surely God is in you. There is no other. There is no other God. Truly, you are God. You hide yourself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also disgraced, all of them. They shall go in confusion together, who are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. That reminds me of Jesus' preaching in Matthew 15:9, where he says, in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrine the commandments of men. Verse 20, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together. You who have escaped from the nations, they have no knowledge, who carry the wood for their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. Isn't that the story time and time again to people? They will create in their image a God. They will create, quote, religion to satisfy themselves instead of following the pattern that God has designed. The world is full of many people like that today. It was here, it is today, where people will create their own image of what they want religion, God, to be, instead of conforming themselves to what God would have us be. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. that strikes me so, it's so futile. It's just, it's spinning their wheels, putting energy, time, that's vain in what they want to accomplish. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. Acts 4:12 says, no other name under there, that there is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. And here we see during the time of Isaiah, God saying, look to me. The message is timeless. Verse 23, I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are the incensed against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. Isn't that a comforting thought, that even though we're not the Israelites today, we are God's people today. And just like God's people, all the descendants of God's people shall be justified. How? If we are following Christ. If we have been washed in His blood. If we have had our sins forgiven through baptism. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we shall have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from our sins. That's how we're justified. That's how we're forgiven. The lesson is yours. I don't know what is on everyone's heart tonight. If there is sin in your life, don't let another minute go by without repentance. If you have not been baptized, take advantage of this moment. The water's ready. We're ready. I know God's ready. To bury yourself in baptism, washing away your sins. That Acts 4:12, there is no other name by which we must be saved. We're not baptized in anybody else but the name of Jesus. If you need prayers, if you need anything of the congregation, please come forward while Colin leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.